This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
Hi, my name is Jeff Littman. I'm the general manager of American Armory Museum, located in Fairfield, California. We're open Wednesday through Saturday from 10 till 3. General admission, $7. Children 11 and younger are $3, and military are always free.
What are some of the highlights of the equipment that you have?
Everything from World War I to modern, everything from motorcycles to tanks and artillery rounds. One of the favorite pieces around here is probably one of General Patton's Jeeps. It gets a lot of attention.
And there's that killer Harley Davidson, extraordinarily rare.
Yeah, it's a 1942 Harley XA. It belongs to a gentleman named Dennis Gill. The XA was basically designed to run in the deserts of Africa, only about 1,000 of them built, and it's like one of 24 left in the world.
Talk about some of your heavier armor. You have tank, you have self-propelled howitzer, some really cool stuff.
Yeah, we got some really nice tanks. Our biggest one out here would be our British Chieftain that we completely restored here on site. Runs and drives, and we like to call it our car crusher.
Literally 90% of your equipment here is operable, drivable, and street worthy.
Thanks to the volunteers around here, yeah, it does run and drive. I'm not saying you can get right in them and turn the key and fire them up, but they are fully functional, and a lot of them are California street legal.
One of the quandaries for a lot of museums is surviving economically. Mm. And we were talking earlier about a win-win way to generate income, and that's your wine tasting, taking your people to the winery in a World War II military transport.
Yeah, that is a concept that we are trying to put together here through a membership program. We'll actually be able to take people out wine tasting in a World War II or Vietnam era vehicle. And like I said, we have membership programs that incorporate military vehicle rides. Another thing that we do here are military themed birthday parties for youngsters or adults. So we have some good projects put together and to try to raise some revenue.
And again, because a lot of the equipment is drivable, you can take the little kids around in a tank or a transport or whatever. Tell us about that.
Yeah, for the military-themed birthday parties, we like to use our World War II half-track. You know, I can seat 6 to 8 in it comfortably, seat-belted in and all the safety stuff, and give them a chance to experience what it'd be like. We have different vehicles to meet everybody's budget.
Talk to us about looking into the future when it's a post-COVID world and you can be wide open. What are some of the events and some of the public things that you'd like to?
Twice a year, we call our military vehicle demonstration days or weekends. Basically, we have military vehicles that we display, and then we have military vehicles that we drive on site to show you how they run, how they operate. With those weekends and days, we usually have a classic car show. We got about 8 different vehicles that we're going to demonstrate around here, and probably have about 100 to 125 classic cars here as well.
How many people might show up?
Well, how many can show up, it's how many I can park. I think we're going to max out early. I have enough space for about 300 cars to park on the property. Once the lots are full, we're going to have to definitely shut the gate. So
maybe 500-600 people?
Yeah, I'm guessing, yes, about in that area.
A lot of your equipment would be in parades around the region, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, all this COVID stuff, there haven't been any parades here recently. And before COVID, we had between fires and smoke and extra hot 4th of Julys. We really have not been able to do a parade here in the past couple of years.
But it might happen again.
Yeah, if the cities and the counties get back into regular routines of parades, yes, we love participating in the local parades.
We were talking earlier about your lending program where, for example, some of your vintage World War II equipment will be on a battleship in Alameda.
Yeah, when they have space available, we tried to keep a display on the USS Hornet. We just removed a World War II missile Jeep and the 1942 Harley XA that's been on display there for quite some time. Have a couple World War II mannequins on display right now, but we move our stuff around.
and a couple other places where you might show your equipment.
Yeah, we have a sister museum in Vacaville called the Roland Freedom Center. Back in the day, it was known as the Jimmy Doolittle Center. Primarily aviation, right at the entrance of the Nutrie Airport in Vacaville. Well, their oldest plane is a biplane that was built by the Gonzalez brothers. They were two young boys out of San Francisco. Basically, the Wright brothers beat them just briefly in flight. But besides their aviation, I've been out of space here, so I've been moving a lot of my armor, and I rotate it around there as well.
The other cool thing is your location. Even though you're in the middle of the Suisun Valley agricultural world, you're like 2 inches away from Interstate 80. So if somebody not coming to Fairfield, but they're going by Fairfield, it's a piece of cake to come in for a visit.
Yeah, absolutely. We are literally right off of exit 43, 80. I mean, you get off the highway and come down the ramp, and you just can't miss us. You look over, and you see all these military vehicles, tanks, and trucks parked out here in the field. Very, very convenient.
Talk to us for a moment about how you manage to keep your doors open financially.
I am the only paid employee here. Mr. Roland, the owner of Jelly Belly, this was his dream. He started this. He keeps us going. But what really helps out around here are the volunteers. I mean, the volunteers are what make it happen. Between COVID and changes in people's lives, getting married and buying houses and having kids, our volunteer base has really dropped off. So I only got like 4 or 5 very active volunteers. But there's something here for everybody. You don't have to be a tank mechanic. You don't have to be a historian. You just have a passion to serve and to help. We're always looking for more volunteers, from regular maintenance to dusting vehicles to full-blown restorations. And but having people with knowledge of the military stuff, or myself, I'm not that knowledgeable. If you have the expertise to come in and say, hey, you know, that mannequin really should be dressed this way or that way, that helps us out a lot as well. But we're always looking for volunteers.
And again, the big picture, you have equipment that dates from the early days of World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Gulf War. You have the whole span.
Yeah, actually, our oldest piece is over at the Roland Freedom Center in Vacaville. We have a 1918 Harley-Davidson with a sidecar that was used by the U.S. military.
That's really cool. Somebody wanted to learn more about the American Armory Museum in Fairfield.
I always tell everybody the best way, follow us on Facebook. I keep Facebook updated on a daily or weekly basis. We do have a website, AmericanArmoryMuseum.org. You can always look us up, call me personally. My name is Jeff Littman. My phone stays on my side.
All right, Jeff, what a pleasure. What a fun day visiting with you.
Well, I appreciate it. Enjoyed the visit today.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from the American Armory Museum, Fairfield, California. We'll see you here.
I'm Molly Toe. I'm the owner of 260 Kitchen and Bar here in Fairfield.
How did that start? Do you have a background in culinary world before you started the restaurant?
Yes, I had a little bit of experience. Previous to this, I owned a Asian restaurant and bar over here in Green Valley for about 11 years. Uh-huh. I sold that one about 3.5 years ago and took a few years off. In the restaurant industry, sometimes you just need to step back and take a break. But I love this neighborhood. I love the community. So when I saw this location become available, mm-hmm. I thought, let's do this again, but this time with a different concept.
How does it differ?
I would call this New American, mm-hmm. California cuisine. You know, in California, we have many influences from different cultures. So our menu features mainly an American menu. You'll find like steaks, chops, burgers. But we also have a lot of dishes that have Asian influences, Italian influences. We do have a special sometimes where it does have Mexican. We did a birria taco special. It went very well. And that was in the summer. So hopefully, you know, we'll bring that back at some point in time.
Last 12 months has been a brutal time for every restaurateur. How have you survived?
I would say a lot of hard work.
Stay open the whole time?
We were. We complied with every shutdown, every mandate. So basically, I opened the restaurant in June 2020. And since then, it feels like I have opened the restaurant 3 times with the opening and the closing.
You have guts, don't you?
I don't know if if I would call it that. I think, you know, when you get placed in a situation, you start a new business, you just put so much into it that your only choice is to move forward. Right. And it's not only just myself. You know, I have a whole team of people behind me that were right there with me with the closings, the openings, adjusting to a to-go only format. So we kept it going. It wasn't easy, but we did. And I'm glad to be here where we are today.
Right. You're very close to Interstate 80. And yet, coming in, it looks like you have very much of a local, almost a neighborhood clientele. Is that accurate?
It's pretty accurate, yeah. You know, I had my last business for 11 years, and I also live here in the area. I have a lot of community support. Like I said, the people who live here, it's just a wonderful place to be. Even, you know, during the whole opening and the closings, I have had so many customers from just the area come in and say, hey, we want to come in and support you to make sure that you stay open and you make it through this time.
Yeah, it follows that you have a lot of repeat people that come back again and again.
And that's what we strive for. Yeah. You know, your repeat customers and the word of mouth at the end of the day, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there a signature dish or dishes that people associate with the restaurant?
We have a lot of popular dishes.
Number one.
I think our number one, and it's kind of taken a life of its own, is our Korean fried chicken sandwich.
So you can't take that off the menu then?
Oh, definitely not. I think I would have like a mini rebellion if I did. Yeah, the Korean fried chicken sandwich is something that I think pleases a lot of palates that people can enjoy. So another very popular item is our poke tower.
Oh, what is that?
So it's a ahi tuna poke, yeah. And we layer it on top of wonton chips with shrimp and a mound of avocado, and chef tops it off with aioli and some cilantro oil.
And some Hawaiians coming in for that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it a traditional poke dish. However, it's very popular and it tastes good. So
still do to-go orders?
Definitely. Yeah. We do the online ordering. We had to kind of, I hate to use this word, but we had to pivot in a short period of time to get that online ordering going during the shelter in place. And we're still keeping it going. We did family meals because a lot of people weren't dining out and, you know, they were getting tired of cooking.
Right.
So the family meals did very well for us. And, you know, we always want to keep it fresh. So every weekend we have a special.
You do a lot of promotion on Facebook. How do people find out?
Definitely Facebook, Instagram. You know, because of the whole opening during COVID, we've never had a proper grand opening, so to speak. There's never been like a proper advertising push.
Right.
So a lot of the business that you see that we do have right now is just based on people in the neighborhood, social media, and obviously a lot of my repeat customers from my previous business.
There's a positive upside awaiting you then, huh? When the world kind of reopens and post-COVID.
Yes, that's what we're aiming for.
Maybe you'll do a delayed grand opening.
Oh, I would love to, because I think that it would be fitting to have something to celebrate and also to show our customers that we appreciate them for supporting us through this difficult time, so everyone can come in and just, you know, really enjoy the restaurant like we intended.
That's really cool. What anything that you want to share that we haven't talked about?
You know, from the last 12 years of owning restaurants, I think this has been one of the most difficult years that I've had. However, because of the support from everyone, people just stopping me when I'm walking through the restaurant saying, hey, you know, thank you. We really love that you're here. We really need a restaurant like this in our neighborhood. And we're so happy that you guys are open or able to stay open. I mean, that kind of makes everything just worth it. And so I always stop and think like, wow, you know, it's, even though it was a lot of hard work, but I'm hoping to put that behind me. I don't want to think about it and just kind of move forward with what I had intended to do.
If somebody wanted to learn more about your restaurant, where would you direct them?
Our website is 260kitchenandbar.com, two spelled T-W-O-60. You can also find us on Facebook or on Instagram. And you can get all the information. It's updated every time there's a change. My name is Molly Toe. I'm the owner of 260 Kitchen and Bar, and we look forward to serving you.
Molly, thanks for sharing. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Fairfield, California. We'll see you there.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.